I want to do you a favor because I know you want to watch that Dallas game.
I'm dying.
All right, fellas, today, September 25th, 2017, we got to hurry up because the Cowboys are playing and I want to see them get it destroyed. To my left is Pedro, to my right is Farghini. I'm 100. Motherfuckers, let's talk about cars. Yo, hit it, Pedro.
Who are they playing?
The Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, that should be an easy game.
Yeah. You don't know anything about football,
but Arizona. You would hope.
It was Arizona.
Oh, it's actually a very.
And by the way, I'm breaking major copyright rules today with my Cowboys hat on, and I don't care.
Of course you don't.
I'm wearing it as a badge of honor today because I really think that good things are going to happen.
I honestly hope this game counts as you going to the stadium.
I
remember
last season I went to two games and I actually considered going to a third, and all three of those games were all losses.
you might not want to go to those
were the only three games we lost all year.
This is why I'm thinking.
He's banned from the stadium.
So yeah, if you guys are Cowboys fan, you don't want Pedro to be at the stadium.
Or your house anymore. or anywhere near you.
Right.
You get sequestered.
Yeah, I know. So let's hop into today's
what do you got to get us started?
So I actually have two warm-up questions for us. As weird as I don't know if that's possible, but we're gonna do a warm-up to a warm-up. And the first one
I need to stretch?
You probably should. The first one we're going to start with is from Freddy802 on Salamandra.com, which is the premier place to get all of your source news, content. You can post blogs. You can post photos. You can post videos. You can interact with the community. You can be a effing boss.
And we're doing giveaways, by the way. Every week, you can win anything for free. You can collect your penis points. All you need to do is register on Salamandra.com for free. And collect your penis points from the videos, from the website, from wherever you see them. And I'm going to start giving them, more on my social media too, so we can get everyone more penis points.
And no, Farshad, multiple accounts isn't going to give you a better advantage.
Absolutely not. So that's for free, guys, if you got going on. And also, we got our 10,000 posts today. And it was really funny. So anyways, incredible that we got
that person doesn't know.
Do you understand that 10,000 posts generated by the community in the 3-4 weeks that this has been
That's incredible. Yeah. Didn't we have a contest?
Of what?
How many posts were going to be?
How many posts in like the first week.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And we never followed up with it. Okay. So good thing.
Okay. All right. Normally,
I'm sorry. Like, what did Freddie ask? And by the way, what's up, Freddie?
Yeah. So Freddie802 asked us, what is a classic car or name that you would love to see an automaker bring back? And the example that he's using is a Maserati MC12.
You can't use that as an example. That's the one
I want. No, because everybody would go for that. So he said it as an example, the Maserati MC12. So you already can't use that one.
Okay, Farghini, do you want to get that started?
No, I don't. I got to think about this one.
Pedro?
Yes, I would love for Ford to bring back the Ranchero.
Wait, those are huevos, is how you like your eggs. Those are Mexican egg style.
Of course. You love Pablo's nuts. Right?
You can't say like that. Right? You can't say shit like that with a straight face.
I'm just saying.
What is the Ranchero?
So the Ranchero is like the... it's like the two-seater car, the car pickup truck. It's
like a Pinto.
El Camino.
Like El Camino,
because there was the Chevy El Camino, but then there was the Ford Ranchero.
Pedro, can I ask, why would you go Ranchero and not the El Camino?
Because my grandfather had a Ford Ranchero.
Okay.
It was sentimental.
Okay.
And there's something fun and like all American about the car, even though they're Spanish names, the El Camino.
It's
and
very
the
American. American to steal the Mexican name.
It feels like when you see it, like an all American kind of just like summertime car. Throw your lawn
all American Mexican
throw your lawn chairs in the back seat. You're going to the beach. You're just gonna hang out, lay out by the ocean.
I don't think a lot of white was that a white people friendly car.
To me, it felt like it.
I think it was because it's one of those for middle America from back in the day.
Yeah,
and I think those cars just got adopted by our people.
Got it.
It was
and then white people were like, come on, like we wanted that. And we took the joy away.
What does El Camino mean? And what is
the road? The road? El Camino, the road.
Okay. And what's
Ranchero? El Ranchero, the rancher.
Yeah. So I like the ranch.
By the way, the renegade, El the Ranchero. Sequel should be the rancher.
El Ranchero. With Lorenzo Flamas.
Not even Llamas.
Flamas, which is flames. I feel like that would be a great sequel for Lorenzo Llamas.
Yeah.
Not for Renegade, just for Lorenzo Llamas in general.
I did have another one, though.
Lorenzo Flamas. Go ahead.
I also thought the Chevrolet Chevelle should It should come back.
Oh, that's a good one.
I think the Chevelle is a good one.
I think the Chevelle was an incredible car, and it's one that I would love to see back.
Why do you think they don't bring it back?
I really don't have an idea. I don't know.
I just think there's not enough demand for muscle cars.
Yeah.
And they already got the Mustang. I know, Camaro, but Challenger.
But with the, like, the Camaro, and I just feel like with the Camaro, they continue to, well, they have the Camaro and the Corvette, and they continue to add numbers and letters and all this kind of stuff behind the Camaro. That it's like, why continue to do this? Why don't you just kind of rebody one, a souped up version or a downgraded version between the two, and give us a Chevelle? Like, give us one that is a little more cush. But still, like, heavy.
The Chevelle would be more in line with the Challenger.
Yes, yes. Something that's a little cush and fun, but also, like, heavy-handed when you, you know, put the accelerator
down. Like the Challenger, which you loved.
I absolutely loved.
that would be a fun car to have back.
Those are great ideas. Thank you. What about you?
I got one. You inspired me. Have you heard of a name, Barracuda?
Yeah, of course.
They should bring back.
Is everyone just bringing back like Spanish name cars?
Barracuda?
For which brand?
I think it was Plymouth.
But that automaker doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, but still you can roll it over.
But by the way, it's all within the same years and everything. Is that what you would bring back? Why?
Because I think we need more muscle cars. Now that I understand what a modern muscle car is, Boulevard, like all these, I've been watching Hellcat videos over and over.
Yeah.
And like they describe what that car is, and that's exactly what I'm looking for. It's called a Boulevard Cruiser. It's made to go straight really fast, make a lot of noise, and be obnoxious.
Yeah, that's how it was back in the day, man. That's how the old greasers used to ride up and down Main Street.
Because back then, it was such a simpler time, right?
Yeah, no one gave a shit about emissions.
We didn't complain about all the shit that we complain about today. Like, that was such an easy thing. I want to go straight real fast and make sure that everyone out there can see how I fucked up the car.
And hear me coming.
Done. Done. What type of accent that was, you're wondering? I don't know. Okay? That's just what happened. I'm sorry.
So I love that idea. Farshad. That was actually one of the ones that I looked up.
I think they are going to... I like that you're getting muscled cars.
Oh, I love muscle cars.
I love muscle cars.
Okay, I love that.
And I think the Challenger is the only true to what a muscle car should be today.
Because they brought back... They literally grabbed all those lines, all the old design, and he translated so well into modern.
Yep.
They did. And this is why, since the Challenger came out, the first one, like this one, I've been in love with that idea.
I wish
that they would improve the body lines a little more. I think that I feel like they could make them a little more aggressive. To me, the Challenger still looks like you would find it in a rental car lot.
But
I'm serious.
You got to get a good one.
But they do need that to sell units too.
They also do have that car in rental car.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we see...
I think that desensitized the shit out of us too, by the way. Because if we lived in Europe and we had Citroens everywhere, then we'd be like, I don't want that. It's so normal.
Yeah.
But in here, car rental companies have completely fucked everything up for us because of that.
I agree.
And police cars.
But that Explorer, dude, on black looks so good.
Or white. CHP has white.
They look so good. And then you see them used by cops, and you're like, that's a badass car. And then you see a mom using it, and you're like, is that a cop?
And then you get pulled over.
And then you get pulled over. It's really sad.
So what about you?
We got pulled over in an Explorer, right?
We did.
We'll talk more about that later. We'll talk more about that in a minute. What about you? What do you think? Have you been able to land on something?
Yeah, dude. I'm going to go with the mistake, the DeLorean.
Why? Because I would love, and listen,
I would not love for DeLorean to bring back the DeLorean. I would love for it, literally anyone else, anyone out there, except Fisker. Let me just be super clear. Hang on a second. Anyone except Fisker can bring this car back and I'll be happy and I'll buy it. Just all electric. I think that car was ahead of its time. And I think right now bringing a retro modern car like that would fit in like, you know what it's like? You know that little Nintendo that I got, like the old throwback?
Yeah.
That's what the modern DeLorean is.
Exactly right.
You get a battery one. And listen, I am very aware that DeLorean is making these cars electric now.
They're working. They haven't sold it yet, but they've been working on it.
I am fully aware that they're doing this. I am not interested. And yes, while I understand that DeLorean itself is making the electric DeLorean, I would never buy anything directly from DeLorean. I just don't want to Fisker myself. I don't want to end up getting Fiskered.
Right.
If I can buy a shitty DeLorean, like I don't care how shitty and destroyed it is because it doesn't matter. You can get one for like 20, 30 grand cheap, right? You go, you get Vic to wrap it for 70K. That puts you immediately at $100,000.
You don't wrap DeLoreans, Alejandro.
Farshad.
You're going
to
wrap
I do whatever DeLorean. The fuck I want
it's
to.
Supposed to be like, it's supposed to be the stainless steel look. That's what makes a DeLorean.
But I'll wrap it like that so that he looks fresh.
Oh, yeah. You can use that brush steel.
I'd absolutely do that.
That looks good.
That would actually look even better.
Yeah.
I'd put some weird wheels, like, or maybe paint them in a weird color.
Directly. I also don't think you need to buy an electric DeLorean directly from them. No. I don't think it's that specialized of a thing. You take it to a good dude. Yeah.
And no one's going to be like, listen, DeLorean's got a pretty good track record. I want to make sure that you have a stuck DeLorean.
Wait,
like,
are you saying you can't get any worse than this level DeLorean?
No, because whatever DeLorean you buy, it's at the DeLorean standard, which is low as fuck. I'm just being super honest
here. Essentially what you're saying is that we've spent too much time talking about the DeLorean. Just go get a Model 3, take the thing off of it, and put the...
Why don't you just wrap it in DeLorean. A stainless steel? All
right. Because now it'll be just me buying a fucking i3.
Speaking of you buying cars, there was another question from Enzo101, and he asked...
My dog.
Yeah, right? He's always on here. What was a deal killer for you when buying a car? Which, I guess basically that means whether it's something to do with the car or the car buying process. Is there something that you've gone in to buy a car... And then you end up leaving because...
So if you find out about that thing, that's that. From the car, or it could be like a pushy dealership.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Farshad?
Fucking four cylinders. Get these fucking four cylinders away from me.
Why do you hate them so much?
Because they just... One, you're one of the main reasons why.
I fucking despise them. But why do you
because
hate
of
them?
You, well, because of you. Because I get to experience V12s and twin turbo 6 liters and 800 horsepower and all this kind of stuff. And then every day after when work is done, I get in my own car, and then like it's like riding a mule back.
I apologize.
Like
it doesn't even
back.
Have like a
nothing. It's gotten no it sound has, like it that. Has nothing. I'm done with four cylinders. I'm really done. They don't have the torque I need. I'm done.
So that's why you're most likely getting a Hellcat.
I'm getting most likely anything but a four cylinder.
So if somebody pitches you a four cylinder, nope, I'm out of here.
I would tell them pitch it back up your ass.
Wow.
Cut two. I'm only going to end up. Being able to afford a four cylinder.
What is? It'd be really funny if between now and whenever you get your car, which should be like by the end of the year, between now and the end of the year, if they come out with like a revolutionary car,
you don't
even know about like a Hellcat, that you don't know, they pack up the four cylinder, and you're like, you're the first guy to buy one. You're like, I love this, and he turned out to be a four cylinder.
Get some torque off the line, and I'm in.
Wait, isn't
they'll
the,
never do that?
Isn't the Radical a four cylinder?
A Radical?
No, it's a V6.
It
the
is
Radical,
V6?
The track car, yeah, they have a four-cylinder. They have a four-cylinder and they have an EcoBoost one because they came from the V8 to the EcoBoost and that was the problem back then. Remember?
Yeah. Oh, of course.
And it was and the fact that they didn't want the V6 EcoBoost. Like, no.
But nobody wants these.
But then there was also a rumor for a little while that the Project One was potentially going to be a four-cylinder, right?
It was at the beginning.
Yeah.
They wanted to do a four-cylinder and they realized they couldn't do it.
Right now it's a tiny V6. But
it's a 1.6 liter V6.
It has a battery assist.
And a turbo.
And a preloaded turbo.
Farshad was saying today that he wants a car with battery assist.
Because the battery assist will get you going. And then you can turn off the fucking, turn on your four cylinder and get it going.
What about you, Pedro?
So mine is basically when I see an ad for a great deal of a car and I go in, they tell me, no, that's not actually what it is. You know, you only get 5,000 miles a month on this lease.
So like a $499 motherfucker.
Oh, God. Okay. I hate that.
We have to explain that. Just so you guys know, whenever you see a deal advertised online, when like Maserati had that $499 lease a month.
What do you mean had?
Now they're lower.
They're lower.
$449.
You can't get on Facebook without seeing a Maserati ad.
No question about it. But by the way, these don't come from Maserati the company. These come from each dealership directly. And these are not approved by Maserati completely. These go like, hey, the shittiest car I have on my lot. The one that's purple in that weird shade of purple with the brown interior, that one is the one that's $499 a month.
Yep.
And as long as you only drive it 1,200 miles a year.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the rule.
But sir, you put a black one in your ad.
But that was sold out already. This is the only other one that we have left.
Unbelievable.
But the next one is only $699 a month.
Yeah.
Come on, it's just $10,000.
That's another thing. When they put you in a car that is like, the luxury grade of it, and they're like, ah, oh, you know, I think this is the one that you're gonna like, and you specifically told them what your budget was.
They do that all
they
the
don't
time.
Give a shit. And also, it's you getting tired and you want to leave the dealership, and you're like, fuck it. Yep. What's another fucking $300 a month?
No, it's fucking horrible.
Yeah. And then ultimately, it's always the salesman, right? That to me, that's the ultimate deal killer, is the way that the salesman comes across. Like, and I typically know immediately when I reach out and shake their hand or they approach me. If I'm going to get a deal done with them or not.
Yeah, like pushy guy or not, yeah.
Like, that's my deal killer for me, or killers for me.
Like the dude that we met with when we went to look at your Hellcat? The moment what? We saw him, we knew, we were like, all right, this is never going to work out.
It's easier to go into, go test drive a Turbo S, a Porsche dealership, than
a Hellcat.
Than a Hellcat. Yeah. Even, I bet you he would have done the same stuff if I wanted a V8 Challenger, just to try out a V8 Challenger.
It oh, no question about
let
it.
Let me do a credit check. Let me do this.
They play the same games. Yeah. I've gone to places to buy cars cash, and I go, I'm going to test drive it before. And I don't mean cash, like in a bag of cash. I got to explain this every now and then. And I'm like, I knew it. Alejandro was a drug pin. The only drug lord to ever make a successful transition to YouTube.
To a public life.
And never been able to, and never been traced back. Yeah, fucking goddamn it. What was the point of my drug dealing story?
Oh, it's hard to go
into. It's hard even going in with cash.
You go in and you're like, guys, I'm buying the car cash. And they're like, we need to do a credit run. Why do you need to do a credit check when I'm driving the car and then immediately paying you afterwards for the car if I like it or not? And also, I was not showing up. This was at a Porsche dealer back in the day. I showed up in my Lamborghini. And the guy's like, oh, you want to test drive this? We're going to have to run a credit check. I was like, no, I'll buy the car cash. Right. No, but we have cheaper cars we can show you. I was like, it's not about being cheap or not. I just want to test drive. No. So I also hate, I hate pushy salesman. Yeah. I hate the buying experience all the way from like a cheap car all the way to a Pagani, if you will.
And of course.
The Pagani one is fun. Once you get to the point where you go there and then Horatio does this whole thing where he shows you around and specs the car with you, and then you feel part of the family that overpaid a lot of money and all of that. And they do make you feel like really great. As a customer experience, buying a Pagani is the coolest thing I've ever done with any car maker.
Spending $2 million, you should feel great.
but you should feel great at any point with any car maker, blah, blah, blah.
That's not the case.
That's not the case. And then after you're done buying one, if you're not the one that's buying like every $2, $4, $5, $6 million Pagani,
you're out.
You're forgotten immediately. And that's not only Pagani. This is not a criticism to them. This is every dealership. They're like, yeah, you did buy that, but you didn't buy the three new ones. So fuck your key, or fuck your seat, fuck your this.
What have you done for me lately? What have you bought for me
lately? That's exactly it. It's like, but I did spend $2 million in that car. Yeah, but that was like 7 months ago.
Is there any haggling with the Pagani when you buy a Pagani? Or is it just like, here's the price?
No. They give you the price. They give you the price, and then you go do your thing.
Can you haggle? You get...
No, they have an option list of all the stuff. That's what I was about to say.
How much does it change when you actually start specking it out and... The Pagani factory.
The prices change every couple of months, just so you guys know. They keep upping the price every couple of months on every single vehicle so that they can create additional value for the people that bought them first.
On the new cars, right?
For example, if I bought a Huayra Roadster, when they came out, they were 1.7. Then they were 1.9. They were in 2.3. And now I don't know
how much. But if you're at the 1.7, they're not going to come back to you for the 1.9.
Yeah, they do that every now and then. Every now and then there's some... Every now and then, these manufacturers will
have some setbacks that you need to help.
They don't have a setback. They realize that they can ask you for more, and they'll go and ask you for more. I'm not saying this happened to me. I saw a friend of mine that went through that when he signed a contract for a car where he paid millions, paid for already, and the dude just fucking sent him another contract saying, hey, by the way, that price, no good.
No bueno.
Or I'm gonna return, and the guy's like, I'm gonna sue you if you done blah blah blah. The guy goes, I'm going to give the car to someone else. So whatever you want, you can sue me or pay me the extra millions that I need. Ended up paying the extra millions. But this is why they do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the dude's like, I don't want to miss out on my car.
What did we learn? It doesn't hurt to ask.
It doesn't hurt to fuck anyone over. Like,
believe me.
No, I'm sorry. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't cost you anything.
Correct.
So there's a lot of people too that send you like the statements. If you're financing your car, and you're done with your lease on March, you're going to get another two extra sneaky invoices there. See if you're going to be one of the dumbasses that pays it. And then you call them and they go, oh, that was supposed to not go to your house. Who's going to call me whenever I send you a check, motherfuckers? Who? And who's going to cut your check back? Nobody.
They would have cashed.
Good luck getting that money
So
back.
I hate getting haggled and the whole buying experience from a fucking douchey salesman that doesn't understand. And this is not to everyone. I love the people that I work with, obviously, and this is why I work with you guys. But for the most part, it's just a fucking douchey salesman that doesn't know anything about cars, doesn't care about cars, and just wants to, like, get a commission, which is understandable. But this is something that we car people enjoy and want to make us a big experience. It's not. It's a piece of shit experience. This is why I love the Elon Musk proposal of eliminate salesman from the floor. Just fucking send an email to a deal. This is the car that I want. Show up, drive it, get the fuck out. Done.
Yep.
Why do I need someone to, like, walk me through with a hand? Grab my hand, hold my hand, and walk me through every car and tell me what the options are. They don't even know them.
They're
looking at the piece of paper right in front of you, next to you guys. Just FYI. I'm sorry. So clearly, I hate that part of that. Yep. And if it was a car feature, the lift. I need a lift in my car.
Sports car.
Yeah.
If they don't come with a lift, probably that's a deal breaker.
But all new ones.
I
don't know. We might need to check the spec sheet on one of them.
Okay, so I have one of them that's coming in where the lift is $6,900. They're now abusing it. They're now officially abusing it.
Hey, at least
they
know you need it.
Yeah. Hey, I know. That was a good number. Yeah. The lift on the 918 was $8,500. This is a $300,000 car, $6,900. So now manufacturers are like, you want the lift.
You need the lift.
Exactly. So we're getting railed with it.
Of course.
Sorry, Pedro.
Well, we went down a rabbit hole that I wasn't expecting we were going to go down, but we went down it anyways.
That's what she said.
Another topic that I wanted to talk about, and this is going to be our first feature topic, is the Tata Group, which is my favorite group of all time. I just love that it's called Tata.
Oye, Tata.
You know? Everybody knows what some Tatas, right?
I love Tatas. Yeah. Who doesn't love Tatas?
So the Tata Group is an Indian group based in Mumbai, and they actually own Jaguar Land Rover.
Yep.
And they have given the okay and approval because of Jaguar Land Rover's amazing sales
they've been killing
year to acquire a new luxury company. Now, with all that being said, what they're wanting to do is jump over that, I want to say it was 1 million cars mark, is what, because I think they've sold 600-something thousand cars in a year.
Which is amazing for
I can't believe
that is a humongous number.
I can't believe how big that number is.
When I saw the number, I didn't.
No.
That is a humongous number.
So they're looking at acquiring another luxury brand that could help jump them over that 1 million mark. Which brand would that be? I mean, I'm having trouble figuring out what could be in the landscape that would put them over that.
I read something, but I'm not sure if that's real or not. Farshad, is that real or not?
It's a possibility.
It's a possibility. It's one of the brands that they're really looking into.
And if you think about it, it really is.
Do you want to say it? Do you want to be the one with the pleasure of saying this? Yeah. Jag and Land Rover are looking at acquiring
Maserati.
Oh.
And go possibly ahead. Alpha.
Okay, so when Jag put in their business plan, we want to destroy your company. Who signed off at the bottom of it?
Like, we want the company to get destroyed.
Why would Maserati destroy their company? Maserati is the one that's being destroyed right now. I mean, look at who's running Maserati.
No. No one's saying that this is a bad move for Maserati. I mean, literally just taking a pile of shit in a jar with five other shits in it would be more valuable to Maserati than keeping existing because they don't have an identity. There's not a brand behind it.
But
there's no real identity.
But that's what we're saying.
I know, but Jag itself hasn't found its groove.
But it's finding its groove.
The Land Rover Group, whatever the fuck that is, got it. They understand 100% where they belong.
Mm-hmm.
Jag, the F-Type, is the only great car that they make.
Correct.
The only great car. And that's a happy coincidence because that's a shitty sports car that's really cheap, right, in generalities. That turned out to be an incredible accident because by shitty, it feels non-safe, which makes it exciting. It's got a great interior, great materials, mm-hmm. and at a great price.
Great value.
Great fucking value. So Jag got lucky on that car. That's the way I look at it. They really did. So Where do you go with Alfa in Maserati? I actually buy Alfa before Maserati.
For sure.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
I think it's a more substantial.
In a heartbeat. Because it's way cheaper than Maserati. Maserati's proven itself that Maserati doesn't need to exist.
Listen,
do you agree?
I can understand if the purpose is simply to get them over that 1 million mark, but I don't see Alfa as a luxury brand.
I was just going
to
say,
They said they okayed for the acquisition of a luxury brand. I don't see Alfa that way.
Yeah. No. But the way... I guess I'm talking more towards the future and not just rather like them grabbing and buying a car brand and just selling cars, because
they'd have to acquire Maserati and retool, redo everything, come up with both companies, just so we know.
It's all about a name.
Yeah.
It's all about a name at the end of the day. And that's what we've talked about. It was two or three podcasts ago is that's what Maserati
brings, a beautiful name
for them to build on. They don't have to worry about the platforms that they currently have in place. They don't have to worry about the current production. They can fix all of that. They can change it. They can make a U-turn.
I don't think it's that easy, though. Think about Jag itself hasn't found its groove. What other car in Jag are you like, whoa? You know this.
Whether they got the electric SUV coming out, the I-Pace.
But it's not out yet. Like, what car that's out right now from
the
Jag,
aside
from the F-Type, got you going like, okay.
But Jag is dedicated to putting billions and billions of dollars into electrifying their cars. I think that they've taken a bite and they understand where their direction is going to go. They see the cars that they have. They're okay. They're selling a lot. They're making great prices to get units out. They're building brand awareness for their cars. And as soon as they say, we're electrifying our cars, they're going to take over really, really quick. That's my assumption.
Because
they're really building a lot of brand awareness with the way that they're selling their cars. They may not be great cars. They may not be the best ones in the world, but they're certainly...
No, the F-Type is a great, great car.
Really, but they're infiltrating the market, especially in the U.S., in a way that we haven't seen with other cars that are making the steps as fast as they are. Because it wasn't long that Jag... wasn't even mentioned
whenever you
here.
Heard yeah. Jag, you were like, ugh.
Yeah, it wasn't even mentioned around.
It was like this Maserati.
what was another thing that you were mentioning earlier, Farshad? Was like by 2020 there will be at least an electrified option for every model.
There's going to be an option.
So just so we know, every car manufacturer should have that and will have that. At least if those of you car manufacturers that haven't figured that out, here's the news. You're going to have to electrify every single one of your models, and eventually all of the other ones will leave and you'll transition into a fully electric company.
But we're already at 2018 model cars.
Yeah.
Like we're already looking at 2018 model cars. That's two more cycles of what we like on our show before this happens.
Yeah.
Like what are we going to be liking on the second cycle?
I honestly I'm not scared about that. I think now the options are going to start to get fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's like the iPhone. Like the more technology that comes out for these, the better they're becoming, right? Yep. Like the more interesting they're becoming and the more fun, because now the whole driving experience, I think we got it. If you want an analog monster car to just enjoy yourself and whatever, I think the perfect ones exist already. Yep. There's a 911R, there's a Carrera GT, there's the McLaren F1, there's even a fucking manual Miata, like the old school one. Like, you got it all. Do we agree? We have all those cars. If you want to experience analog, you can definitely do it with whatever exists right now. Do you agree with that? Yep.
Challengers, all that stuff.
Whatever you want. Whatever you want, you'll find exactly what you're looking for.
Yep.
Now in electric, you're going to start to see a lot of fun shit pop up.
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to get the best of both worlds. I'm really excited for this stage because I don't give a fuck. I got a Carrera GT, son. I know people are going to bitch and moan about I love that thing. I love driving that thing, and that's my thing. And I know that in the future, we're all going to have to, if you're a car guy, if you're a car person, someone that truly enjoys how to drive, that truly enjoys to truly enjoys driving a certain type of car, which is not about, it doesn't have to be the most analog. It doesn't have to be, you can still buy that car. You can still have it on the weekends, but your mainstream, your main car is going to be a more efficient shit. You're going to be able to get into your electric bubble that has all these things, get a lot of work done, and just call it a day. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what
makes me feel safe.
I honestly anticipate them snatching up Maserati. I think you're right. I think Maserati is the one for them to take.
And it makes sense. $4.99 a month, all those Ghiblis, they're gonna get a great deal. No. if they do in volume, they'll
Maserati. Good luck, Jack.
You know what it is? It's like leaving your abusive parents that aren't neglecting you, and you're going to your new foster parents that are actually going to support you and nurture you and take care of you.
I hope so, because Maserati really, really needs an identity. And I know that Ferrari is the one, or at least it feels like it's been the one holding them back to do so. That's because they want to be top dogs, right?
Yeah, that's actually a question that Dirty 530 Garage asked on the website. He asked, does Maserati's partnership with Ferrari hold them back from creating their own identity?
Yeah.
Fucking
cool. Yeah, that's a great question. What do you think?
Yes, I actually believe that they do.
What do you think?
Yeah, I feel like the Ferrari name looks down at the Maserati name. Right?
Well, they look at it like you can't make anything spectacular.
Or faster than ours.
No, forget about faster. You can, and here's the problem with that and why Maserati doesn't have a brand identity because of Ferrari. I don't care what you guys say about how much we roast Ferrari, but the bar's pretty low. What's so special inside of a Ferrari? How hard would it be to make a better car interior-wise than a Ferrari? Italian.
Who was the one complaining about the details?
There were some friends of mine in the Bay Area that was talking about they just got a 488 Spider, and they weren't happy with how some of the threading and inside the car was. Like, it was like popping the threading, and you could also see the glue from the seats.
Okay, so you've gotten a 458. Right? Yes. You've got in a 458.
Yep.
You've got in a 488.
Yep.
You've got in a 488.
Yep.
Been in a
Material-wise, been in a LaFerrari.
Yep.
Material-wise, did you see a big difference?
No.
Interior-wise?
No.
Any buttons different that... Nope.
No.
So, hang on. So what can Maserati do in order to not be better than Ferrari? Pretty much nothing. Like, they need to stand like this.
I think it's also the innovation as well. It's also the innovation. I think that Maserati has a good opportunity if they go with if they end up getting snatched up by Jaguar and Land Rover
to be the first Italian all electric car company.
Not even all electric.
But that's sexy though.
I could see them sticking it out underneath that group.
But they can
the Aston type of car. Like they could have some class brought back into Maserati.
I don't think Ferrari's investing.
Ferrari's no, but not. That's why. That's no, what I'm saying.
Yeah. Ferrari's not. That's what I'm saying. That yeah. I would love to see Maserati get snatched up underneath them because they could be a classy car that is affordable.
And I think Maserati can reach Ferrari level faster than being owned by Ferrari.
Yeah,
I mean, like
no. I think Maserati has a. If they do invest in that and really want to get there, which I don't think they're two companies that compete against each other, which is a great...
Maserati can be modernized faster than Ferrari.
No question.
Under Jaguar's rule.
Dude, Ferrari's moving at a slow pace.
That's what I'm saying. Within a couple of years, all the Ghiblis could have the battery assist and the technology. No,
I know you're serious.
It could be quickly.
Any company.
When is the Ghibli going to get battery assist under Ferrari? Where three, four? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
it won't. I don't think Ferrari's ever planning on that. I think
they're going to have to at some point. They're going to have to do battery assist.
They will go out of business. I know people keep saying Ferrari stock is an all time high. I've seen this happen before. I've seen companies that don't react to times, and you guys are seeing how fast everything is changing now.
Of course,
from a year until today, how crazy different everything is. How much? Because at first, when we announced electric cars, it was one or two companies, and all of them said, I refuse to make an electric car. I refuse to get into that. A year goes by, everyone's like, all of our models are going to be electric by 2021. So
it's like in the NFL. Like last year, it was only Colin Kaepernick taking a knee, and now
it's everyone.
Now everybody's taking a knee. In a year's time. Can you believe
it? Wow. The world really changes fast.
But you know what? Speaking more about Ferrari is I want to hop into this other topic. I think we've been on that long enough. I want to hop into Motor Trend's review of the 2017 best drivers cars.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Sorry if I left. No. Hang on. Go ahead.
Oh, you ready for this?
I am ready.
You ready? So Motor Trend, 2017 best drivers car of the year is the Ferrari 488.
Coupe or Spider?
The 488. The one that came out in 2015. Yeah, those are crickets.
Spider?
No. The 488 GTB.
But that year, the 911R came out and won.
Mm-mm.
But, oh, no, that was last year. That was 2016.
But this is 2017's best driver's car. And it's the 488.
You know what? Ferrari just took a little longer to win. That's it.
The check had to clear.
That's it. When
what
do you have to say about this?
I don't understand. First of all, I don't understand why this car is even in the mix. It makes no sense to me. And
Can I ask you, is this the 2017 best driver's cars that they could get that day for a video?
It's exactly.
What were the other exactly cars?
I'm assuming the Performante and the 720S are there.
The 720S and the Performante were not there.
What was there?
So let me read you. Let me read you the top of the list.
That's odd. Because I remember the 911R, when it won Car of the Year last year, started being delivered at the same time that the 720S was delivered right now. At the same time, like identical. I'm even getting my 720 before my R, like literally from last year. Okay? So how on earth is this car the best driver's car? This is a muted car. This is identical to a 720S. It's muted. It's boring as fuck when you're just dailing it. Okay,
it didn't have the velocity of the.
No. But this is what I'm getting at, on daily drives, like just daily driving the car.
Yep. So
the 720 and the 488 go head to head. Do you agree? They're in the same category.
Yeah.
They're soft cars. They're not a speciale. Yeah. They're not a performante. Right.
On paper,
of course.
Now, then, the 720, it's ludicrous how fast it is compared to the 488.
No question.
Mind boggling.
Night and day. I'll agree to that.
Now, the interior in the 488. Compared to the 458, how much did it change?
It actually muted down a little more. Like that, they muted it down.
But it's kind of. Do you agree that if you look at a 488, you're going to
the styling is very similar. It's still very subtle class.
What about a 650 compared to the 720?
The jump that they made was night and day.
Okay.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Hang on a second.
But that's because McLaren's a technology company.
Hang on. I'm just trying to figure out how Ferrari won this one. Hang on. I'm sure I'm going to come up with it.
Hold on. The competition. Let's see what the competition was.
You know what? The Ferrari probably won around the... No, hang on a second. That's impossible. Okay, on a straight... No. I just don't know. You know what? In design. Design-wise, the Ferrari has more air... No. I just ran out of jokes.
Let's see what the competition
is. This is truly, and this is now today, because I love that I got so many messages when this time they announced
that's
this.
Right. Yeah.
This is really the culmination to show you guys how everything that we've been doing forever is right here in front of you and so full of shit.
So here's the driver's car contenders. So you had the Ferrari 488, which finished first place.
Oh my God, I'm about to blow your mind. Go ahead.
Second place is the Porsche 718 Cayman S.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, I drove. You drove.
It's a great car.
It is a good car. Third place is a 911 Turbo S. Fourth is a Camaro ZL1.
But they're saying driver's cars,
best
right?
Best driver's cars.
How can you put the Turbo S in there?
I don't know. But honestly, the Turbo S was better than 718 Cayman S. That's my opinion.
No. But as a driver's car, as a driver's purist.
I hear you. Fifth place, Mercedes AMG GTR. First off, I don't even know how they have the car.
That's complete bullshit right there. That's bullshit.
So you got an AMG GTR right here, very cushy, in fifth place, which, mind you, I promise if you put those fucking cars on the same tires, the GTR would demolish the 488. Let's just be honest here.
Yep.
How the fuck are you putting a car that's not even in the U.S.? Legit. People are taking their Huracans, their 720Ss, and all of that out. How are those cars not in here on this list? You know what? It's also Ferrari's 70th anniversary. Have you noticed that? You guys noticed that? Also, this is legitimately the only way these car brands can...
Like, why is a regular Huracan not even on the list?
Why isn't there a single vlogger out there that says this?
Is this like whatever Fast Toy Club had? They just won.
Yeah, the 488.
No, I'm saying the competition. Oh, yeah. That's like whatever.
I want to finish up the list. It was, I'm just going to go through these quickly. An Alfa Giulia Quadrifoglio, Corvette Grand Sport, a Lexus LC500, McLaren 570 GT, a Mazda MX-5 Miata, and a GTR Nismo and a DB11. The DB11 was in last place, by the way, as far as driver's goes. Which I
can you click, will it let you click on the GTR to see like how that test was?
Yeah, of course.
No, no, no. He means the GTR, the AMG.
Yeah, AMG.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, will they say like where they drove it and what?
No, I mean, if you watch the video, you see it. They took it on the track and then they drove it like, you know.
The U.S.?
It's not enough to drive it on the track, so you got to use it like regular people on a closed road in the canyons.
Yeah, I mean, they all did it in a closed road on the canyons right outside.
Oh, that's
Laguna
right. There was that green one we saw around here. Oh, yeah. It's that press car. Yeah. Okay, got it.
It drives me crazy that this is so obvious and they're sitting here as a authority on these vehicles, you know, that because they are. At the end of the day,
they were.
I'm sorry, but they still are.
Well, when you have
5.6 million subscribers on YouTube and you have a site that's getting the traffic that they do, they're still considered an authority. It's like somebody that goes on Instagram and buys 700,000 followers on Instagram. They're going to look like they're an authority. They're going to buy their verified badge. Yeah. Kids are going to look up to them. They're going to reach for that information, and it's just false information.
Yeah.
And it drives me crazy that these guys are sitting here doing this, because I love Ferrari. I wish Ferrari would get back to greatness. I wish that they would be a great company again. But this right here is a joke.
You see
this
how much the show has changed in a year?
Yeah, exactly.
I hear you.
Pretty soon, Pedro's going to be like, stop talking about BMW. Yeah.
But then, like, this is a joke, man. This is an absolute
the biggest joke in the world.
Joke. We took the AMG GTC out, right? We took the GTC out.
Yeah.
It's a better car than the 488 as far as the experience and the way that it drives.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, I loved it.
It's a more fun in the city, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Turbo S was a lot more fun for me to drive than the 488 was.
Yeah, it's unpredictable turbos.
At the same time, I get it that this is a subjective opinion. This is somebody's supposedly one person or a collective group of people's opinion. But you can't look at this and tell me that this is not
a joke
and take it serious.
That money is not in their back pocket saying, hey, we just gave you this car. Or not, you know what? Not even bought. Well, I'm not going to say that they're bought. I'm going to say that Ferrari, with their press development program, has given them a juiced up car.
Which, by the way,
of course,
Ferrari has a development program for press cars.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to put that out there.
A development program for press cars.
So, also, have these guys never driven a fucking 488 like a normal one?
I don't think so. I don't think so. And if they have, this is stupid.
And
this is
why
stupid
wasn't the
that this is what they're
here?
Coming to.
Why wasn't the 720S on?
They're going to make
there
up
wasn't
whatever excuse.
There wasn't one available for that day.
But the AMG GTR was available. It's just no one can get there.
Poor scheduling. That's all.
But, you know, yeah. Or the Performante, too. Wow, what
and
a
then
problem.
On top of that, but then to go back to this point, like, why in the world is a 2015 car on this?
Can I tell you what? It actually looks like this list of cars was provided by Ferrari.
That would be amazing. One-stop shop.
Honestly,
what do you need? We got Miatas. We got.
There's no real competitor right here, like a head-to-head competitor for the Ferrari.
Right.
No.
The AMG GTR is the only one.
But
and they put it in fifth place, and that's not a real car. That car might not make it to the United States at this point, guys. By the way, there's I heard a rumor that there's a big deal about EPA standards on it. No one knows if it's emissions. No one knows if it's safety. But the cars might have to go back or be modded here or something else. Yeah, that's odd. So I'm glad they compare that car in there. It's just bullshit, man. We've talked about this a million times, and it's just misinforming people. And this is where a lot of that stuff comes. The mistrust and fake news and all that
by the
shit.
Way, these magazines, look how thin they are. When I used to get them, they were like this thick.
Well, yeah.
Right? I don't subscribe to them anymore.
Yeah.
This is a dying.
Well, it is. Oh, and also dying. At the same time, what dying. They had going on until now was no one could prove them wrong. No one. Unfortunately now, there are ways. And unfortunately now, people are educated.
Yeah.
And now this year, and this is the first time I've ever seen this before, where people went like, ha! Come on. The 488? This is the first time I'm seeing that. No, I didn't get a single message from one guy who's a Ferrari asshole guy and was like, oh, yeah, the 488 is a great car.
Totally
deserved it, blah, blah, blah. No, eat your shit. Not one. And I, every time, when Ferrari used to win at F1 like a couple weeks back.
Yeah, right.
A couple months
it's
back.
Going downhill fast.
Yeah, me. When Ferrari won a race, the first thing I would look at my Twitter, I would wake up. And I had all these notifications about Ferrari winning a race. Those disappear real quick. And whenever Ferrari did anything right, how the fuck are you bashing Ferrari? This time around, not one. Not one. And I mean it. Not one person has been like, how dare you? The 488 is really the best car. Not one.
But there was.
And I know. And by the way, this is super lame. This is just stupid cars. But this shows you how retarded this is.
But we did get a lot of messages that said, is this a joke?
Yeah.
We got a lot of those.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah, those are the only messages I got.
No,
and this
is
the first time ever where people go like, I guess you guys do know what you're talking about.
You know what I'd love to see? Previous winners and see how many times Ferrari has won and what the competition
was. I used to watch Ferrari, and back in the day, even when I was buying my GT3 RS, I remember thinking to myself, you can't compare a GT3 RS with a 458. Like, it's unfair.
Well, they won with the 458 in 2011.
It's not fair. Yeah, they did. They did. And then you look at the cars on the track and you're like, what the fuck?
No, but he just, in 2011, Ferrari won again.
I'm
like,
what the fuck? I'm telling you, it's wonderful.
I know. It's really depressing because it makes everyone look bad when you start doing stuff like that.
I think it makes it sad because now it's so obvious.
Yeah.
You can't even hide it anymore. But anyways.
So let's hop into some good news, by the way. Not good news, bad news, but just industry good news.
Hit it.
And the first thing I want to touch on is Porsche has confirmed that there's a 5-seater in the Panamera for the U.S.
How pumped are you?
I'm so excited.
How pumped are you?
The Panamera is back on the on the list. I'm going to do whatever I can. We're going to close as many business deals as possible by the time it gets here. Let's try to get Pedro a Panamera 5-seater.
When's that coming in?
I don't know. So we got an extended amount of time.
That is honestly a great car. I'm glad that they're bringing it to the U.S.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Is that the one we saw at the Experience Center?
So that's a Gran Turismo. Yeah. That's the Gran Turismo. That is a 5-seater. But you know how when we were in Amir's, how it had the thing that goes all the way to the middle.
Oh, just a regular Panamera is going to get a 5-seater.
The regular Panamera Turbo is going to be a 5-seater. So that's great news for all of us. More news, still with Porsche. The GT2 RS, guys, was spied at the Nürburgring, burning the track record to the ground.
So again, just a real quick recap to those of you guys listening for the first time ever. I don't know why you made it all the way up to here, but let's go with this. The ring, the Nürburgring, or however you want to pronounce it, because I can't pronounce it for my
Nordschleife.
The Nordschleife ist Daschkes Weichkes. That is the track where we put all of the cars, all car makers put all of the cars and say, this is really the fastest car.
Yes.
So that's the track where everyone tests.
That is the standard.
For speed. That's the standard.
And it's like a 12-mile track.
So it's a big deal whenever a car can do it under 7 minutes, which only 3-4 production cars have ever done it. So right now, the record holder is the Performante, the Lamborghini Huracan Performante or Huracan Performante. That did it in 6 minutes, 52 seconds. Which is bonkers. It's fucking ridiculous. I still think that's bullshit.
With an asterisk.
It does have an asterisk because right after that, that's when the ring said, you know what? We're going to start measuring this and making sure that everything like that you guys are saying
is
real.
Of course.
After that. And they're saying that the GT2 RS did it in 6:48.
Yep. 6 minutes and 48 seconds.
That is 4 to 5 seconds quicker if this holds up to be true, which normally Porsche absolutely delivers every single time.
And they did multiple sub-7s, by the way.
Well, this was the funniest thing about it. I've never in my life gotten to this point where the cars got into the ring and I immediately got messages.
Yeah.
They were like, they're doing the record for the 2RS right now. People went on the website and then immediately someone said, it went under 6, like under 7, but like way under 7 on the first try. They're going to destroy the record. That's what people just looking at it were saying.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what number they pulled on it?
Oh, my God.
And it was just on the Michelin tires.
And the sound.
It's, yeah.
That thing was making.
It's so different, and the turbo sounds so intense, right?
By the way, one note on battery assist. There's no question the 911 is going to get battery assist at some point.
Can you imagine how good that's going to be?
It's going to be like everyone can afford a 918 now.
It's going to happen. Yeah. It's going to happen. It's going to happen quick. I can't wait.
This is the fun thing about the 2RS. This is the one thing I'm really pumped about this car about. It's going to destroy everything on a straight... I know on a track, but on a straight line too. and you don't need more than that on the streets to show how big your dick is. Mm. And you only have to spend $350,000 if you get it at Sticker like your boy. $350,000 on the car, whereas before, to do that, you had to spend $1 million. Like, that was a 918.
That's what I'm saying. Everyone gets
that
a
was 918. A 918 feet. And now you can get it for $350,000. A car that will destroy any 918 you want.
With no battery issues.
No like, battery. No,
you know what I mean?
Just a twin turbo flat six.
I think these are going to be worth a lot once the 911s do get battery assist. Because that'll be the last.
I think once they change the model. Yeah, I think once they change the model to the whatever's next,
yeah,
that's going to be when this car is truly going to hit appreciation.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a beast of a... I'm really so pumped. And sadly, those cars are not going to come in until April, May of next year. And we don't know how many they're making for sure.
You mean next... Like, but that's not that far off.
That's not that far off. And the good news with that... Well, yeah, but the good news with that is Porsche is pretty spot on about when their cars arrive.
Yeah. The only problem they had was that one time with the GT3 when the engines were catching on fire.
Yeah, yeah.
They recalled some cars, people got paid and whatever, and hey, whoever got their car.
It happens to the best of us. a little oil.
But
fire.
He did. Hey, at least they did the recall. Ferrari's still selling the cars like that. Now, so total kidding.
I want to shift gears into some McLaren news. So McLaren has a I don't want to say partnership with Gran Turismo, but they are working with Gran Turismo, and they unveiled a car for the game that is called the McLaren Ultimate Vision Gran Turismo.
Mm.
And this car, guys, is beyond unbelievable. Like, this is like taking everything that McLaren does great, mixing it with the AMRB 001, I'm sorry, the Valkyrie.
Valkyrie.
I almost said Nebula and then Valkyrie. it looks like all of that combined with the Project One, with possibly what a BP23 could look like.
No.
And then just shot it 1,000 years into the future.
This car is the closest thing you'll see to the P15.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
And there's
crazy lines. I'm not saying it's going to look like that. You don't remember the first or second, let's talk about Carcio, that I ever did,
yeah,
was a year before the Chiron was announced, unveiled, anything.
Right.
And I said, it's going to look just like the Vision GT from the video game with a little less aero. Here we go again. And I love that car makers are going into the video game world, releasing these fucking crazy concepts all in front of our faces. They're basically jerking off in front of our eyes and being like,
well, they released the GT2 RS through the video game as well. For Forza, right?
Yeah.
Forza.
Yeah.
But
they're releasing these cars, letting them like run wild in the world in front of everyone's eyes without telling the world. By the way, that's going to be the next whatever. And that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I like it.
Because the thing is, they're not going to put all that R&D money into creating something just for a video game.
No, because the logic of a video game, just so we're all on the same page here, is as real as reality. So they need to write all of the rules according to downforce, speed, wind resistance, everything you can imagine. They put all the math into those cars, the real ones.
The games take them serious.
Yeah. No. It's just like the same real math that comes from a regular car. They put it into the video game, and that's what makes the car, and that's what specifies how he does on the video game, right?
Yep. That makes sense.
That's the basic of how that works. Can you imagine what this is going to be like?
Are we gonna see this car on the lawn, on the concept lawn at Pebble next year?
I want to say there's a good chance. Oh. Like a much, much toned down. And listen, it could be completely different, but from what I know that they've described to me, that looks a lot like that.
But even a ridiculous version of that, I just...
The P15 is going to be ridiculous like that. Oh. It doesn't have any lines like a regular street car. It's much in the Valkyrie lines. And this is what that is. That's why I'm saying that could be that.
This car makes a P1 look like it was made in 1980.
So underrated, right? It makes it disappear from your memory.
Oh, my God.
Do you think they're taking data from people playing the games and just taking the data in from the cars? Do you
know
what I mean?
Like, that's a great...
Like how the wind is affecting, like digitally, all this stuff.
No, they do. They want, just so you know, they 100% do for the development of the real car. That's what they do.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder how many miles people are putting on the poor car.
But that's also what they were talking
digital
about.
Digital miles.
That's what... you know, our friend was talking about with the Project One is that in all simulations that the car was breaking every Nürburgring record, like not just breaking
like a
it, but
joke,
destroying it very
because
very
we're moving forward now in development with these simulations before we even build cars.
Yeah, it's like close to a 620 on the simulator, right?
No, it was 620. There's like nothing
crazy.
Faster than that, right?
It's crazy.
No, that's insane. But that
even with that front end.
Hang on. But that was with the old motherfucker. But that was with the old school numbers. That's a non-completely developed car. So it can still do way better.
Yeah, the battery technology could be better from when they started developing. Yeah.
It can still get way better.
Okay, so there's one last topic before we hop into Farghini's good news, bad news.
Hey.
And it actually has to do with our daily vlogs or episodes and stuff we do on a daily basis. And essentially, I want to call back this latest episode that we released on YouTube and
for
our pro subscribers.
And
what was the name of the video?
Farghini left us with a big problem.
Yeah, Farghini left us with a big problem.
That's what he was.
And honestly, this is one of those episodes, and the reason we want to bring it up is because this is an episode that we collectively were probably not going to release.
I legitimately, this is why we're talking about it, because the episode got released. We said, you know what? We ended up making the executive decision, like, let's release it. I feel like even though it's not the best we can do, it was good enough to hold people off until the next one.
Yep.
So we released the video. Mind you, we're working, we're doing whatever. And then we walk into the office, everyone's like, have you guys looked at what the video is doing? It's fucking killing and people are loving it. And then you read the comments, everyone's like, this is what I signed up for. We're like, what the
this
fuck?
This is the best episode ever in a long time.
We never know. Just so you guys know, we never know, because we have some episodes where we legitimately just go to Galpin and we start like getting into trouble. He's like just fucking around. And there are some episodes where we're like, dude, we're taking the 720S and we're putting it against the LT and that should murder. And people are like, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that's all right.
And then you go to Galpin and eat at the restaurant. And everyone's like, that was fucking amazing. I don't understand it. It makes me so happy that people love that, though.
It is. It's crazy because we come into this every day. Like, we bang our heads against the wall trying to come up with something new, something different, something that's going to stand out. And then sometimes it's just the simplest of just grabbing the camera, going and seeing what happens. And, you know, it sticks because we do. We throw so much at the wall hoping that something hits and that
for the day, for the week, or for the year.
Yeah.
We always do that.
Yeah, we're constantly doing it. And as in touch and as close as we are with you know, all of you guys on the other side of the camera, we still don't understand and know what exactly you want. You know, we could do poll after poll, we could have you guys send in suggestions, but you just never know. You never know what zinger's gonna hit.
Yeah, but this is the funny thing. In all media, I think no one knows anything.
Oh, no, no, no.
No one has any
idea. We have parameters, but no one has any idea.
No one has. And also, sometimes you just don't know what the audience or the viewers are going to love. Like, it's just no one can dictate.
I saw that in movies, right? We develop these fucking movies. We work on them for 3, 5, 7 years sometimes, 10 years, some people. And you work on them for so long, and you're like, this is the one that's going to destroy. Mm-hmm. You put it out. Bomb. No one wants to buy it. No one gives a fuck about it. You can barely get any views out of it if you get any.
Yeah.
And you never hear people that watched it, right? Like, it's so random. And then you make a shitty ass movie where you're like, I'm honestly just doing this like to pass some time and then go on to the next one. And that movie destroys.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
You have no idea.
You never know what's going to work. And it makes me feel really, really good that people just found it so interesting that they were... Whatever the fuck we just did.
What did you guys not like about it?
About the video?
Yeah.
We didn't have like we didn't go anywhere new aside from the Galpin restaurant.
Like going across the street.
Yeah, and also.
Maybe it's access. People want for us to show access.
No, people enjoy that. There's no question about it. We have like the Galpin video that we made also when we go into the Aston Vault and this is what buying an Aston gets you. People went nuts over that one too. But on that one, I expected it to a certain degree, right? I didn't expect it to get like 1 million views, which is close to. But
are you number dropping?
I don't think that's that high. I honestly don't think that's high. But this one, I honestly thought everyone was going to be like, guys, just retire, just call it a day.
I kind of felt that way, like
right?
I didn't feel like the zingers were strong. I felt like it was kind of slow.
The cops were roasting Parker.
Yeah, exactly. And no offense, it is what it is. But the camera was down a lot of the video.
Thank you.
Yeah, but it had to be. It had to be. You can't just walk through a restaurant and film everyone.
Yeah.
You know, like you can't do that. You can't just approach authorities and film policemen anymore. Like
you got to ask for permission for them. We always do.
Yeah, but you know, like. during those circumstances, the camera has to be down. And
it just made me really happy that people really liked it.
It's weird.
All the shit that you're describing, like you're saying, the camera was absolutely down. I had it when I'm showing the restaurant. I turn around. It's so fast. And then I was like, oh, people are going to roast me. And then I say it like on the video. I'm like, probably you guys didn't get to see anything. And even then, I appreciate that. And just know, guys, that every time, whenever you see a good episode, a great one, a bad one, there's always a next. And whatever's coming next will always be. It's impossible to watch a full season of South Park and say every single one was a hit. It's impossible to watch any season of anything and say everything was a hit.
But I think also everyone likes for us to give each other shit.
Oh, for sure.
I think they love that. They've really taken a liking to Farshad's long walks.
Oh, why? No, they're not liking long
people
walks.
People love your long walks.
They don't like Alejandro's long walks. They said it.
They said it.
You guys are fabricating this trend. No, no one likes long
your
walks.
Your long walks?
No, we'll change the subject. You know how I see this?
What?
As like a late night talk show where you got to put out a brand new show 5 nights a week.
Yeah.
Right? And you just finish this show, you put it out. Tomorrow, you can't be like, oh, last night's show was shit. I wish I could have done this. Nope.
No, move on.
You got to move forward every single day.
And also, whenever you drop a banger, people expect you to come out with another one right afterward. And it's almost impossible.
Bangers are hard.
Yeah.
Bangers are hard.
They are.
Yeah. But it's all about going up to bat.
But you know what? Right now, it's a very exciting time on the channel because we have everything that we're doing. We have the 2 or 3 cars that are coming in now. Like literally now, I got all of the calls. I got all of the money ready for all of the cars right now.
Which that means we're probably going to get the worst viewership we've had in a long time.
in a very long time. So we're getting all the new cars. We're doing the project car with the car that we're going to do in Rodeo Drive, all that stuff. We're doing Vic's car. Like there's a lot of things going on. We're doing some stuff with Mike, some stuff with Parker, some other stuff. Like there's a lot of good shit about to come up. So
at least 2 weeks of content.
No. I know like from here to till December, we're going to be jam packed.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff. Because December is going to be great getting the AMG GTR by then.
I actually don't think you will.
No.
But even by December.
Just get a GT.
Can I tell you something? Fuck that car.
Okay, how about this? Get a GTR.
You know Nismo. What, Farshad? Just give me your good news.
Get a Nismo GTR.
Just give me your good news. Okay, bring the good news.
Someone's got to bring them.
Okay, here
Someone's got to bring them.
So this one's it's like a double good news.
Whoa. Okay,
here we go.
This is a first.
Yeah, this is a first. This was such good news that it was like double good news.
Okay.
So BMW in the news. There's a lot of BMW stories in here, so let's just bang them out. Okay, here we go. Good news. A golfer does a hole-in-one to win a BMW M760i.
Wow, that's great.
Hole-in-one.
That's incredible. Hang on. That is truly incredible.
It is really incredible. Now, this is a double good news / wise move, okay? He immediately donated it to charity. I swear. True story. He immediately. Wise decision. Do you not agree?
Hey, sir, you yourself saved yourself a lot of headache.
What is charity going to do with this car?
They can sell it in. It's a nice wash.
Man, I wish I was charity.
Good for that guy and his tax benefits.
Yeah.
I want to have that kind of money.
No, actually, if you really want to talk about it, he still might be on the hook. For the 1099, because when you donate a car, you can't deduct it one-to-one.
No, but you can't deduct it a one-to-one for charity? Mm-mm. Oof. Mm-mm. Thank God I'm not donating any cars to charity.
Yeah, I know this because we have to donate a car to charity. Okay, here we go. BMW in the news again.
Oh, boy.
Angry BMW owner sets car on fire outside his company Munich headquarters.
I saw this story.
Is that just the car just catching on fire?
No, the dude,
legitimately, he made it.
He's got a vendetta against BMW.
What's the bad news?
BMW will process this fire as soon as it resolves all the other fires.
It's going to be a while.
It's going to be a while. Basically, they said, get in line.
That is a good one, Farghini.
Thank you.
Well done.
No, last BMW one. Okay, so.
He went back to back on those. Yeah.
Good news. Police in Australia are to get 80 BMW 530Ds for the highway patrol.
That is great news for their highway patrol.
The bad news. Now, Australia, I know you guys are already down under, but how much lower do you want to get? How much lower are we getting? 80? Do you need 80 BMWs?
Let's hope they're all not white. How about that?
Are they
white?
Yes, of course. Oh. Of course they're white. Okay, some Dodge news. This is an interesting kind of news, actually.
I see where you're going with this.
The new Dodge Charger and Challenger to get Maserati Ghibli platform.
That is good news.
What?
That's very good news. the bad news. We all got it wrong. The fact is you can get a Ghibli for less than $399 a month.
There you go. Oh, that is good right? news, Parkini. That is good news. That is, hey, if anyone's buying a Maserati dealership, this is your shot right now.
On a serious note, how do you feel about that? The Challenger Charger being a Maserati DNA. Ghibli DNA.
You know what? As long as he doesn't share the powertrain and the engine. And honestly.
The electronics and the powertrain.
I'm dead serious. I don't care. The chassis is not bad.
You just literally want a chassis.
And also, those are muscle cars. They're not supposed to do anything great. So I'm good with that.
But
that's a great, what a great use of the Ghibli chassis. Like,
that's
hey,
what it's come down to.
You need it for something that doesn't matter?
All right, that's what it comes down to. Just
they're going to rip all the Ghiblis apart and start making more Chargers.
That's what they're going to do with the unsold cars.
You know what we need to do? We need to figure out a way to rebadge or redo something on the Ghiblis where we can resell them as a brand new car ourselves.
Like a coach work?
Yeah. Like a different type of Ghibli. Like, hey, you want to get your real $4.99 a month Ghibli? Hey, it's Vincentis. Go ahead, Bargini. I'm sorry.
Okay. And the last one, some Jaguar news. We heard about this. The next gen Jaguar F-Type is confirmed with electrified powertrain.
That is good news.
The bad news. You will now hear zzz, pop, 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 pop. Zzz, pop, 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 pop.
That's all you wanted to do.
The sound effect. And that's it.
I'm really glad that you're going to be getting an electrified F-Type for us.
Oh, I would love an electrified F-Type.
He would hate it. He would hate it.
It would be too good for you. You know what I mean? Like, not in a bad way. It would just be too good. You wouldn't like it.
My next car is a V8. It has to be a V8.
With a
cut to, I end up with another fucking four cylinder.
I really,
it's gonna be the best. Guys,
if he ends up with a four cylinder, we're gonna
best
just do
four cylinder I've
back.
Ever seen.
Is there anything else you want to do before you wrap it up?
Yeah, I think I'm almost at halftime in the Cowboys game.
Let's go, Cowboys.
That's it.
Well, fellas, thank you so very much for listening. For you watching, thank you so very much for watching, guys. We're always on salamandry.com. If you have any questions, any posts that you want to share, any videos, any blog post, anything, just let it be there because I go through that shit every day, all day. It's amazing all the stuff that comes up in there. If there are any suggestions for the show, anything you guys want to tell us, please email us at hititpedro@gmail.com.
Yeah, let's do that. That's fine.
Is that right?
That's fine. Camera's about to die. We got to go.
Okay, so we got to go. Bye.